Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPW share number 125. That's Ba'is Panimi share for women, share number 125. We're talking about the discovery stage, the gathering information stage in a relationship, which people may think is just pertaining to the early stages of marriage, like Shana Rishayna, when you first get to know each other. But as we explained in the last year, you can know each other for a long time, been married for a long time, and still, surprisingly, really know not much about your spouse, even though you know their habits in the back of your hand and you know what they're going to say in that sense, but you really don't know who they really are. And this has been proven and established. And you always have to be constantly curious, always constantly trying to gather more information about understanding your spouse. And part of the discovery stage is understanding each other's needs and trying to have your husband's needs met. Again, we spoke to them on their end about having your needs met by them. And love is a response of having your needs met. When each one meets their needs to each other, the response is personal pleasure, fondness, the bond develops, the bond grows, love is born. It becomes really unselfish, and paradoxically, the more unselfish it is, the more you'll receive back fully. This joyous flow of giving and receiving gets you to a much deeper level in the connection. It creates a real true love, creates a feeling of immense satisfaction for a long period of time, and it'll survive the lows in the relationship. We are human beings. Matzavim change. Situations in life changes. Stages in life changes. People change. Life itself brings changes, but we are equipped. Hashem put it in us to adapt and make adjustments to our relationship. Very often we don't do this because we stop working at it. What happens is till now you felt your needs were met, something's come up, or you feel a certain change in yourself, and then you realize, and something goes into your brain, your needs are not met. And when you have that thought, and it may be a legitimate thought, you don't push it down, it may be true, but what happens often is that if this information is perceived as threatening, and then you feel disappointed and frustrated, and you have to catch yourself, because these negative emotions are just designed there to get your attention to make the adjustment, but you have to override the negative feeling of disappointment and frustration, turn it around, and work towards filling that need. Or expressing that need to your husband so that he could fill that need and work it through. A lot of it is, in the meantime, as you're working to it, and while towards it, and while things are not ideal yet, to be sameach b'chelkecha, happy in a lot as you strive forward. Because happiness is the ratio between what you expect and what you get. Most relationships may start on a very high level of quality, and then it goes down, like we explained that. And that if someone experienced infatuation stage, you're basking in that chemical high anyway. You're not doing much. You're not really working hard whatsoever. It's natural. It's a normal high, and then that goes away, and the work starts. And you have to learn how to handle the distress when you wake up to that, the daily life irritations. You have to learn how to handle that, recognize it. If you don't feel the emotion of connection, not to get spiraled downward from it, but do something about it. And it is doable to do something about that. When needs go unmet, the relationship starts to show signs of distress. And then disappointment grows, frustration grows, turns into criticism, or withdrawal. Research backs this. The result could be defensiveness. The result could be even contempt. And when a couple resorts to these behaviors, common sense tells us that the relationship is in trouble. John Gottman, which we reviewed two of his books, I believe, one in the main group, one in the Panimi group as a joint shiurim, Him and his researchers found that 9 times out of 10 couples who criticize or get defensive or withdraw or blame or accuse or call each other names do not make it. Even if they stay married, they're not really making it. That's a dangerous low. Doesn't have to get to that point. You could have a low. We all have lows in our marriage relationship. All of us. But it doesn't have to reach that low. In the low, you don't have to criticize. In the low, you don't have to withdraw or blame or accuse. You could be less cheerful, and it's harder for you to be, you know, you have to make a much stronger effort to connect with each other. But you don't have to do these negative behaviors, even in the low. You have that bechira. And stop these behaviors, okay? That's easier said than done, because the question is, you have to get to the root of the problem. Criticism has to be avoided, but why are they criticizing? Stonewalling is unhealthy, but why are you stonewalling? So even if you don't, you work hard and you don't do these behaviors, but you have to understand, if you're feeling these ways, to work on identifying it and correcting that behavior. So for example, if you have certain changing needs that your husband is unaware of, you need to tell him about it. If he has changing needs and you sense it, you have to ask him, you know, is there something that you need that you're not getting now, or something you feel differently now about something that you know, and be open with each other about these things. Are you, as a wife, willing to express your needs in a more effective manner, in a way he'll truly understand? But to be, at the same time, be sensitive to your own husband's changing needs, to learn to be flexible and change as needs change, accepting the differences between your needs as a wife and his needs as a husband, and accepting those changes in your husband's change in his needs that he used to, like, till now, he, you know, very often in marriage, you'll see this, he'll say something like, till now, this thing didn't really bother me, but right now, this became important to me. This didn't seem important to me. The wife says, for example, I was fine for many, when they had less time, busy with the kids, I was okay with us not having so much time together, but it's bothering me now. I really need that to change. I need more time with you, or I need more time where we sit together, or we have meals together, or right now it isn't more important. We need to go on vacation more often, even those short vacations. We need it more. Things change. You have to be expressive about it and do something about it. You have to gather information, but not in a backward way and not an unhealthy way. You see, criticism is a sideways, weaker attempt to get your needs met. People criticize sometimes people criticize because they just want to be vicious and mean, okay? That could happen. But most married couples, and they do love each other, even if they have flaws, when they criticize, they're not really trying to be mean. It's just they're using a sideways, backward attempt to get their needs met, or to express to you what their needs are, or you do this to your husbands to express your needs, and it comes out as criticism. And people who have difficulty asking for their needs to be met, people who have a fear of asking for the needs to be met, people who are arrogant and feel, I can't get myself to say and be vulnerable and tell my husband, I really could use this, I need this from you, physically or sexually or emotionally, you can't get yourself to do that. So instead, you resort to criticism. Now, pursuers are the guiltiest of using criticism. Distancers are guilty of stonewalling and withdrawing, which is not good either. But pursuers use criticism often. They have difficulty focusing on what they have. They have more focus on what they don't have. They have difficulty seeing what their husbands have in their milas. They have difficulty seeing that, but they have an easy time seeing what their chesroinus are. They're very suspicious. You came home early because your boss was out of town. You didn't come early because of me. pursuers are very hypersensitive to rejection. So because of that, they have difficulty asking for their needs to be met. And it comes out in the form of criticism. I will tell you, just like the Chazal say, and the Chazal, the Gemara, and the Rabbanan were talking about husbands. Husbands should not place excess fear in the home. And they should not be harsh and make people in the family, including you, the wives, feel like you're on eggshells all the time with yelling or name-calling or just tension or being stern. But I will say, in many situations, it's the reverse often, and it's the wife that creates that atmosphere of Amy Yisera, where she's the bully in the house, and he's not. In those situations, you need to work on that, to cut down the yelling and the name-calling and the sternness in order to get attention. Learn how to get attention in healthier ways. Criticism is not mutually satisfying. It will give the one who is criticizing temporary satisfaction. I'll show you. It'll even get that person that you're criticizing to comply and to listen. But they will not feel good about it. It will never draw the two of you closer together. So short term, you'll get what you want because you criticized, but you will be distant from one another. You are not acting in the best interest of the relationship when you criticize your husband. It just pushes your husband further away. Criticism is a form of blame. It puts your husband on the defensive. It will automatically put your husband on the defensive. And he will not react or respond in a healthy way when you put him on the defensive. And here's another thing about criticism, which is a very deep thought, but it's very true. When you look behind any form of criticism, you will find a desire there. So in order to short-circuit criticism, you feel very critical, you look deep into yourself. What's the real meaning behind that criticism? Sometimes what you really want to tell your husband is, you never want to spend time with me. But you can't get yourself to say that, so you criticize and harsh with him, or sarcastic. You can't get yourself to say, I miss you, I want to spend time with you. It's better to say, I miss you, I want to spend time with you, than to say you never want to spend time with me, which is in a way also a criticism. So the softer you put your need met, and your husband will get it, without the criticism. You can also, believe it or not, let your husband know what you want from him through compliments, thank you notes, appreciation notes. How can I help you? And I'll tell you how you can help me. So when there's criticism coming your direction from your husband, offer to help. What's wrong? How can I help you? And you could talk to each other about it. Work with each other that even when you have disagreements and even when you have some bumps in the road that you have to iron out, that you don't resort to the unhealthy criticism. And look behind it and find the desire behind the criticism. Again, criticism is a sideways or backward attempt to get your needs met. And don't criticize. Instead, learn how to, in a healthy, gentle way, request that your needs get met, and vice versa. And the more you do this with each other, the more pleasant and more beautiful your marriage will be. Bracha v'atzlacha.